Many Americans were shocked to hear reports about the remains of children, more than 1,000 so far, found in mass graves on the grounds of Canada's mostly Catholic Church-run boarding schools for Indigenous kids who were forcibly taken from families to be what was euphemistically called assimilated. These sites have been a national shame in Canada since as far back as 2008, when Canadian officials created a National Truth and Reconciliation Commission and issued an apology. We'll have more on the agonizing revelations in Canada tomorrow. But another shock for some Americans came recently when U.S. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, the country's first Native American cabinet secretary, called for an investigation into the American boarding schools, 350 of them at one time, for children taken from American Indigenous families. Among those institutions, Stewart Indian School in Carson City, Nevada. Stacy Montooth is the director of the Nevada Indian Commission, where she's been collecting information about the Stewart School. She's also a member of the Walker River Paiute Nation, Governor Steve Sisolak's liaison to Nevada's 27 Native tribes, bands, and colonies, and her family attended the school. She joins us from Carson City. And Stacy, what did you think when you heard Secretary Haaland's call?
I was really relieved. And then I thought to myself, it's about time.
Well, let's remind people what we're talking about. These schools were started in the 1870s in the U.S., when the U.S. was still at war with Native peoples. What was their purpose?
Well, in 1819, the United States government passed what they called the Indian Civilization Act. And the intent was to establish Indian boarding schools to culturally assimilate Indigenous children by forcibly removing them. In 2021, we would say kidnap. In some cases, children were literally and physically ripped from their mother's arms. And in the case of my ancestors, it was here. I'm talking to you from that Stewart Indian School. It opened in 1890 after several different policies enacted to try to alleviate what was deemed the Indian problem. And it has forever changed the lives of not just the first people of the Great Basin, but Indigenous people all over the country.
Well, when you say assimilation policy, that's putting it politely. And you have General Richard Pratt, who founded the first of these schools. He gave a famous speech in 1892, quoting Teddy Roosevelt before he became president, who said, in not his finest moment, "I won't go so far as saying the only good Indians are the dead Indians, but 9 out of 10 are, and I shouldn't like to inquire too closely about that 10th. And Pratt went on to say, as if he was, you know, maybe being kinder, in a sense, I agree with that, but only in this, all the Indian there is in the race should be dead. Kill the Indian in him and save the man. These schools, am I right, were about killing the Indian in the child.
You're absolutely right. And as hideous as that creed is, it was quickly adopted. I can tell you that my relatives came to this boarding school and were treated, some as young as 4 years old, much like young men and women when they join the United States military. Their hair is cut, they're given uniforms and corporal punishment, mental torture. This was a strategy that was very well thought out by our federal government. And the tactic to remove a generation by attacking the women, the children, to destroy the family unit, I can tell you from my personal family, my just amazing, beautiful 95-year-old grandmother was just 4 years old when she was sent away. And when she left after spending 15 of her first 19 years at a boarding school, she was ashamed of her language. She was ashamed of being Native.
What does that do to you?
Well, like my 31 cousins, I am a product of what the federal government was trying to attain. It wasn't until college that I put the pieces together from, you know, conversations that I'd overheard and stories that I wasn't supposed to have been exposed to. It all clicked. And I've been able to use what has happened to my family. Every day, my job is to do exactly the opposite of what the federal government tried to do, not just to my grandmother, but thousands and thousands of American Indian people who were forced to attend this school.
Well, actually, there were government reports, one in 1928, estimated that by 1926, 83% of Native American children were in these, I don't even want to call them boarding schools. They were punishing, and then vocational. And then 40 years later, there was the Kennedy Report in the 1960s that called them a national tragedy. There were still these schools existing in the 1960s. What is your fear about what the U.S. is going to find if it starts investigating the way Canada did?
I think that this is going to be the first opportunity for healing, you know, in order for my grandmother to really even try to tackle the physical and the mental anguish that she was put through. She needs, my family needs, an acknowledgement from the United States government that they knowingly did this and that they understand that it was not just wrong, but that it is still impacting our Indigenous people today.
So your grandmother's still alive?
She is. She lives in a little greenhouse on the Walker River Reservation.
But what does she want? Does she think there are children unaccounted for?
Well, I actually haven't had that hard conversation with her. It's very common that our alumni, they don't want to talk about their experience here. It was so traumatic, such an emotional toll that at times it's just physically impossible to discuss. Yeah. I can tell you, not only as a direct descendant of the Stewart Indian Boarding School, but as a Paiute woman, that, as you said, it's not appropriate that we even refer to these institutions as schools. Most Americans would have a tough time reconciling the fact that every boarding school in the country had a cemetery on the campus grounds or nearby. And for Native American people, it's so commonplace that the discovery of the remains of these little babies in the Canadian residential schools, it's shocking, but it's something we've known all along. And where I am sitting today, right across the street, is the Dotsolali Cemetery. I have seen upwards of 200 unmarked graves. So I know in my heart and my eyes have seen the evidence that the initiative undertaken by the Secretary of the Interior is going to reveal exactly what is taking place in Canada. Americans don't want to know that their federal government sanctioned the annihilation of not just any group of people, but it's the people that were the first caretakers of the land. It's hard to argue that my people are the most marginalized, suppressed people in the United States. And so, you know, this is really hard, but it really could be an opportunity for healing. Certainly, I've been disappointed before by our elected officials, but I really think that this is an occasion in which Americans are going to galvanize and they're going to realize this horrible history that hasn't ever been recognized, and it's going to change the course of the future of how not just American Indians in this country, but Indigenous people all over the planet are treated.
Stacy Montooth, director of the Nevada Indian Commission, also a member of the Walker River Paiute Nation, and Governor Steve Sisolak's liaison to Nevada's 27 Native tribes, ahead of what will be a U.S. investigation of boarding schools for Indigenous people's children. Stacy, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's such a painful story, but it's got to be told. It's absolutely got to be told.
And it's unbelievable. Tomorrow, The View from Canada.